Holy Spirit, breathe on us again. Breathe on what has died in us. Break the power of sin. Heal the wounds of offense. Call us out of every grave. Form in us a people who live not only by fear or flesh, but by the power of resurrection life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Great text this morning. I swapped with Scott for next week, and he's like, I wanted those texts. Well, I'll just tell you this. These stories are really what the Lord needs to speak to us this morning. He wants us to know that where we think there's an obstacle, where we think that there's an impossibility, where we think that we might not even see the way the Lord could break through, the Lord surprises us, right? He gives us overcoming faith. He instills in us hope. We know the end of the story. We know who wins, and we have to live our lives knowing that despite the suffering and obstacles and things that we go through. Got to visit my sister yesterday in Connecticut. We did a 24-hour up to see a performance that my daughter was doing the set design for, and got to see my sister, and she has had a lot to overcome. She's got a lot of physical ailments, but I saw a spark in her yesterday that I just want to blow on. It's an ember of hope that if she does her physical therapy, if she does the things that she needs to do, as she puts one foot in front of the other, that she can check off one box a day, maybe two boxes a day, eventually becomes three boxes a day. Discipline brings strength. And so I just pray that as the Lord speaks to us today, we remember the strength that he wants to breathe on us for and through. So there's a story of an old forgotten battlefield. I saw a lot of battlefields when we lived in Virginia. Think about an old, abandoned, forgotten battlefield back, way, way back in the day. An area that wasn't used, but it was battled over. Years after the war, travelers would pass through. They'd see remnants, bones, broken weapons, fragments of what was alive with purpose. And no one remembered how each bone got there. No one could construct the full story. But the battlefield bore witness to what had died there. Sound familiar? You've been through your own battles. You're in your own battles. And sometimes people trip over the remnants of your lives and they wonder, what happened there? And there's a backstory. There's so much more to it, all the emotions, all of the things. If anybody could just know the fullness of our hearts. Well, let me be the first to remind you, maybe the second or the third or the thousandth, God knows. God knows all the backstory. He knows every in and out and up and down and good and bad, the ugly. He knows. Ezekiel stands in such a field in this story today, not of soldiers, but of people. And if we were honest, sometimes we realize that we are in that field. Bones. The question for the Valley of Dry Bones is, how did these bones get there? God asks Ezekiel this crazy question. I love his answer. He says to Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Some of us think he should have gone at this point in time with my crazy gift of sarcasm, go, "Nope, no idea." Because you just think it's impossible. They're bones. It's a graveyard. It's a graveyard where he's standing, except it's not with markers and names. It's not with honor and respect. It's just bones. But if before the life comes that he's asking, that Lord is asking, how did they die? There's an answer there. And there's an answer that Scripture doesn't really answer, but there's a theological and a personal answer there. These bones are the exiled of Israel. They died because of disobedience. They died because of idolatry. They died because they lost their identity. They died because they were separated from God. You see, the principle in this scripture is that death is rarely sudden. Death is rarely sudden. It is a slow result of distance from health, distance from God. So to us, the application is this. Bones end up in valleys through compromise that becomes habit, bitterness that becomes identity, disappointments that become unbelief, and offense that becomes isolation. If you think I sound like a broken record, I'm trying to get in you a discipline. And I ask the same questions every time I come to the scriptures to preach. I said, Lord, show me the key pieces that say, what is the principle? What is the key command here? What is the promise? What is the Holy Spirit saying? What behavior is the Lord asking me to change? And you'll hear that language again and again in everything I preach. I finally have discovered that, and it was taught to me a long time ago by our good friend, Jan Nell. Approach every scripture that way. Ask the Lord, what is it that is the principle that you're trying to get across in this scripture? What's the key command? What's the promise? What's the Holy Spirit saying? And what is it asking you and me? What behavior are we to change? Now, some people will say, well, that text doesn't really say that. Well, the Holy Spirit says it. The Holy Spirit unpacks those things and makes them applicable and real to us. And the application for us in the valley of dry bones is this, that compromise, as I've already said, becomes habits. Bitterness becomes our identity. Disappointment becomes our unbelief. Offense becomes isolation. We push ourselves away because of our own fear, shame, and doubt. The key command in this scripture is prophesy to the bones. Well, what's prophecy? Paul says, from a gift point of view, encouragement, comfort, and strength. All right, let's all get crazy this afternoon. We're going to go and do a field trip. We're going to a graveyard, and we're going to speak encouragement, comfort, and strength to the graves. Now you know why I was sarcastic and said, here. That's crazy. You know why he did that? It's because God told him to do it. It wasn't because we think that we could take it in our own hands and bring life out of death. It's because God said that he wanted to show the people of God historically that he has power over life and death. He doesn't do it all the time. Why? Because he wants us with him in his kingdom. This is not the point. This is the proving ground. This is the preparation for what is eternal. God invites us to participate in his story, and Ezekiel must speak before God breathes. Let me say that again. Ezekiel must speak. We have to be obedient to his crazy calling before God breathes life into what seems to be dead. You've been waiting on a family member to come to know Jesus. You've been waiting on a job opportunity. You've been waiting for your spouse to come around the corner. You've been waiting for whatever has been that tap, 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 Lord, please, I've been begging you for years. And he's been begging us for years. And if we'd listen, we'd trust him and be obedient to his call. And in that obedience, he will be faithful to breathe life. We might not see it in our lifetime. We might not know the full effects. We might not know those little morsels of scripture and word and prophecy and grace that have gone down into the innermost parts. We have had the blessing, Kristen and I have had the blessing of seeing so many family members and friends pass over the last few years, but we know what we know in our knower, that the grace of God was there. No matter what their outward expression of faith was and the fullness of what we wanted them to see in this lifetime, God gave us glimpses of his promise to take them home. And that we have to trust him for. and be still be obedient. God invites us to participation. Ezekiel had to speak before God breathed. You know what the promise is here in the text. It's not the flesh on the bones, because they'd have to die again, right? That's a bummer. We look at Lazarus' story, and we think, well, Lazarus has just got to die again. That stinks. For him, too. But the promise is the Holy Spirit. The Lord promises that I will put my spirit in you. Think about how many times that word is spoken in Scripture or made reference to in Scripture. I will put my spirit on you. I will put my spirit in you. The Spirit's gifts will be upon you. The Spirit will fall upon you. The Spirit will move. The Spirit will take an army of so few people and overcome an army that is insurmountable. Ruah is the word, is the Hebrew word. It means breath. God will breathe life where there is no life. The same word, breath, wind, spirit, life becomes when the spirit enters what is dead. The things that we need to change here that are referenced to us in this story is we need to stop narrating death. We talk about it in staff sometimes. We'll say, oh, we've got an organ recital going. This organ isn't working. This organ isn't working. That's our organ recital. Don't we all have organ recitals? We talk about the things that aren't working. But what God wants for us to do is not necessarily narrate our own death, but talk about the life. And when we talk about life-giving things, there's a baby in the back of the room. I love when there are children here because it reminds us that there's life all around us. We need to celebrate it. And as we celebrate it, we stop narrating death and we start declaring life. We stop rehearsing old wounds and we start proclaiming promises. I'm pointing at myself here, folks. I know that I have talked about old wounds, old hurts, old deaths, and I just need to start proclaiming the promises of God. I love this psalm. It is a classic because a lot of commentators love to write about Psalm 130 that was read today. Out of the depths I cry to you. The spiritual life begins when we're honest about our depth. We just read it in a chapter just recently of emotionally healthy spirituality where we have to go backward to go forward, right? We have to press through the walls that are in our lives. We have to go through the grief in order to be able to be honest with where we are with God and ask Him to show us a different way. We cry out, we wait, we hope. But the Lord promises that His love is steadfast, plentiful. The things that we need to change are that we need to be less self-reliant. My mantra when I was a kid, and sometimes the little kid comes out in me, I say, I do my loan. That was my way of saying, leave me alone, I'll do it by myself. I do my loan. Big lip out, chest forward, fist in the air. I do my loan. And guess what? The Lord calls us to strip ourselves of our independence and have dependence on Him, waiting for Him to speak, waiting for our marching orders. We have to move from despair to expectant hope, expectant. That God is the one who fulfills. God is the one who allows us, who put His breath in us. He allows us to breathe our last breath so that we will breathe eternally with Him. Many people cry out from their own depths. But you know, the truth is, sometimes we just stifle those things. We refuse to cry out. We refuse to wait. We choose instead to live by that river in Egypt, right? Denial. Resurrection begins with surrender. Even Jesus had to surrender to it. Listen to His words. Lord, if you let this cup pass from me, please let it be so, but Your will be done. That's the surrender word. Your will be done. I can't control my kid. I can't control my life. I can't control my habits. I can't control my spouse. I can't. I surrender. Lord, I surrender. I give up. so perfect for this passage today, where in Romans, Paul talks about slaves. It talks about what it means to be a quiet master. Everyone serves something. Cue the Bob Dylan, right? You gotta serve somebody. Everybody serves something. And Paul says, you are slaves of the one whom you obey. There is no neutral ground for you and I. We either obey sin that leads to death, or we obey the Lord that leads to righteousness. Simple as that. And most of us live with our feet in both worlds, right? I have yet to meet a perfect person who only obeys the Lord and lives righteously so much that I sit there with my chin hanging because I can't believe how perfect they are. There are no Mary Poppins in this world, practically perfect in every way. So what's the command in this text from Romans? Paul says, present yourselves to God. Put yourselves in the hands of the living God. But, he's perfect and I'm not. Yeah. The free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Make the exchange. But I like my stuff. Make the exchange. But I don't think the Lord can handle this. This is too much for him. You've heard those stories, right? You know, it's not too much for him. The things that we need to do is stop excusing sin and start offering our body to God. Stop living divided and live surrendered. The bones didn't just die. They were enslaved to patterns of life that led them to death. The things that are dying or dead in your life are not surrendered to God. They are in patterns that lead to death. Jesus met up with Lazarus. We have to ask the question, why did Lazarus die? Should we ask the question, why were these bones in the valley? Why did Lazarus have to die? And why would he die again? Jesus raises Lazarus, but Lazarus is not resurrected to eternal life. He's resuscitated to physical life. Why? Because Lazarus is a sign, not the fulfillment. Let me say that again. Lazarus is a sign, not the fulfillment. He points to a greater resurrection. He points to a greater victory. He points to a greater life. The key statement of Jesus is this. After the question is said, yeah, I know what's supposed to happen at the resurrection. Jesus doesn't say, yeah, that's right. Theologically, we talk about it this way. Let me tell you about the Old Testament scriptures that speak into that. No, he says, I am. When the bottom line comes in scripture, when we have gotten to the end of our exasperated self, what does the Lord say to you? I am. All of your arguments go away when that phrase is said. You may still not understand, but the Lord's bottom line statement is, I am. I am the resurrection. Some miracles are a fixed moment. Jesus offers a transformation from the moment that you say yes to him for eternity. For eternity, he's constantly changing us. The commands in this scripture are roll away the stone. We got to participate in it. Come out. We need to respond to that word. Unbind him. Guess what? That's why we have church. We need each other. We could roll away the stone and we could stand there looking like fools in front of one another. But unless we get prayer, unless we have people who can walk the long road with us, like the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, who comes alongside, unless we have the community, the body, we just isolate ourselves some more. It's just the old habit of sin, right? We need each other. It's so hard to recognize that when we do our loners, right? I do my lone. The Holy Spirit comes and breathes into the deaths around us. But the promise here in this New Testament passage as Jesus raises Lazarus is death is not the final word. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Jesus's delays are not denials. Glory is coming even in grief. Let me say that again. Glory is coming even in grief. Across all of these texts, the Holy Spirit breathes new life. In Ezekiel, he breathes on dry bones. In Psalms, he rises up us up out of the depths. In Romans, we have a new master who brings new life and enslaves us to righteousness, not to death. And in John, we hear his voice calling the dead out. The Spirit is the agent of resurrection life. Without the Holy Spirit, we're just religious, right? Without the Holy Spirit, we just do a routine. We come on Sunday mornings and we're obedient because of duty. Good people go to church on Sundays. I will say to you, yes. Good people go to church on Sunday, but really good people are surrendered to the Spirit. Obedience isn't duty. Waiting isn't despair, it's hope. With the Holy Spirit, dead things come alive. Bound things are loosened. Fear gives way to faith. The fact of the matter is, because we stay in this valley of dry bones, offense says to us, I've been wronged. You know how ironic that is? For bones, for death, to say, I've been wronged. Well, nothing you can do about it, right? You're there. You made your bed. You're lying in it. Gratitude is not celebrated over the discontent that we feel. Trust is lost because of fear. The hard truth is you and I have to walk out of the tomb if we're still holding on to the things that are killing us. Let go. Let go. Stop holding on to your past offenses. The final challenge when we think about death versus risen life is this. Where are the dry bones in your life? Where's the evidence of death in you? What have you accepted as too far gone, impossible to change? What tomb have you made peace with? Yuck. We are called in these texts today to three things. To name the death. To stop pretending that it's fine. To speak honestly with God about it. To put it before him because he can transform us. He will transform us. To invite the Holy Spirit in to say, you know what? This behavior, this is not behavior modification. This is resurrection, baby. Put me behind the rock and let it die. Because I don't want to live this way. I don't need to live this way. I shouldn't live this way. And we need to respond to the voice of Jesus when he says to us, come out. Come out. Come out from your graves. There's a moment in CPR when everything hangs in the balance. The chest rises, then falls, silence, then suddenly breath returns. I don't know if you've ever seen that in real time when we watch it on television shows, but it's really real when that happens. That's what God is offering, not improvement, but resurrection. Not just a change in the circumstances, but new breath, new life. Guess what, folks? All of you, I don't care how young or old you are, these bones are not too dry. These bones are not too dry. There is not any length of time, length of distance from God, amount of sin that God can't speak into, that God can't transform. The grave is not too sealed. Sin is not too strong. Delay is not too long. I will put my Spirit in you, says the Lord, and you will live. Do you believe that? If you don't believe that and you need encouragement from the body because you need somebody to untie those grave clothes, then get in line. Get prayer. Pursue some health. Get a therapist. Come to your priest. We'll pray with you. We'll walk the long walk with you. So today, I'm asking you, would you stand with me? Would you stand? I'm asking you to stand. Yes, that's all right. Repent of the things that lead to death. Release what keeps you bound. Receive the breath of God and hear the voice of the Lord to come out. Now, I prayed this prayer at the beginning, but I'm going to pray it over you again. And I'm just going to ask that you would receive it as you would receive any gift. Yes, Daddy. Put your hands out if you want to. Just do it in your mind if that's what makes you comfortable. But let's just pray this and hear this for you. Holy Spirit, breathe again on what is has died in us. Break the power of sin. Heal the wounds of offense. Call us out of every grave. Form in us a people who live not by fear or flesh, but by the power of the resurrection life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.